Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
America has just elected a fascist.
Good morning again, everyone. I'm Juan Manuel Benitez, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. And a very happy St. Patrick's Day to anyone listening who is celebrating. Sitting here with me now is the Irish senator you just heard. He is urging Irish Americans and Irish people living in America to take what he's calling an Irish stand against President Trump this St. Patrick's Day. And O'Riordan is here with me now to tell us exactly what the Irish stand is and why he's taking it. He's a senator with the Labour Party in Ireland and a former Minister of State for Communities, Culture and Equality. Good morning, Senator.
Hi, how are you?
Tell us a little bit about that Irish stand.
Well, you heard a bit of the speech there. I made a speech last November in the Irish Senate 2 days after the election of Donald Trump. And I suppose just for context, in Ireland, we're just beside Brexit as well. So we would have been very aware of that debate, which had a huge amount of anti-immigrant feeling in that debate as well. So after Brexit happened and then after the election of your president happened, I stood up in our own Irish Senate and I made the speech. Now, I didn't think it was going to go very far, much further than the room, but it's on 45 million views worldwide. And we got a huge amount of contact from Americans in our office, very emotional people very upset about what had happened. And then I suppose when the administration took office and the number of Irish American names became very clear to us, it mightn't be that obvious to your average American, but names like Bannon and Conway and Ryan are very, very familiar to us in Ireland. And even some of your Fox News contributors who seem to be supporting him, such as O'Reilly and Hannity, they'd be very familiar to us as well. And then, you know, Pence is an Irish American.
Excuse me. And his grandfather was...
Yeah, came from Mayo. And, you know, Sean Spicer. Mm-hmm. So a huge number of these names are very familiar to us in Ireland. So I suppose what we wanted to do when the travel ban was announced, myself in Dublin and Irish Americans here and Irish people living here, we wanted to make a stand to say that this isn't what we believe in. The Irish are an immigrant people. We had to leave Ireland in coffin ships. Coffin ships is a term that we all know from our childhood. We would have learnt this from our families about people who left Ireland in boats that were, you know, unfit to sail, and they went to the bottom of the ocean, just like the Syrians are now. We had to overcome sectarian bigotry when we came here in the 20s. Al Smith ran for election, an Irish-American Catholic, in the 1920s, and he lost because of anti-Catholic sentiment. It was the same in the 1960s with JFK. So all the things, all the negative stereotypes that... That Mexicans now have, or Muslim Americans have,
Irish used to have.
Any Irish American who stands behind the travel ban or stands behind the anti-immigrant rhetoric that's coming out of the White House has completely and utterly forgotten the Irish history, and it's a very important point that we're making.
Do you really believe that Donald Trump is a fascist?
I believe he is. I believe if you take a tick box sort of approach to what a fascist believes in or how a fascist behaves, a fascist will, you know, tries to undermine the institutions of the state. He does that with the judiciary. He says that people are unfair because of their ethnic background. He accuses judges of being so-called judges. He rails against the media. That's what fascists do. He says that he wants to imprison his own political opponent. That's what they do. And what he is doing, just as every fascist kind of playbook has, is that he finds and identifies a vulnerable group in society and asks, you know, a larger group to focus their attention on them. Now look, I'm an outsider. I don't live in this country. I'm not from this country. But on St. Patrick's Day, when all your presenters on TV shows and everybody's walking around wearing green and thinking about Ireland, it's an opportunity for us people from Ireland to talk about Irish America and to say that, look, You've had 1.5 million Americans killed by firearms since 1968. You've had 5 killed by refugees. Mm-hmm. We have to have a level of context here into what we're really talking about. And if you're Irish, you grow up with people in your family all over the world. I have a brother in Canada. I have a sister in London. I know what it's like to be called a terrorist when bombs are going off in Britain in the 70s and 80s, and Irish people had to hide their accents and their names. So the very same thing is happening to Muslim America or Mexican America or whoever happened to us before. And anybody who doesn't understand that and is happy to put on a green tie and a green skirt and on this day is denying their own history.
Well, we want to hear from our listeners also. You can give us a call now if you're Irish or Irish-American and want to talk about what your Irish heritage means to you with President Trump in the White House, especially with regard to his immigration policies and executive orders. You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. If you're an Irish-American Trump supporter, how do you reconcile your family's history with his views on immigration? And if you just have a question for the Irish Labour Senator, Éan O'Riordan, I'm trying to say your name correctly.
It's Éan like crayon. So,
Éan O'Riordan.
Yeah.
About Irish politics or Irish-American relations, you can give us a call. Again, the number is 212-433-9692. And Senator, yesterday, the Irish Prime Minister, Enda Kenny, met with President Trump. I read that he pressed the president on doing something to help the estimated 50,000 undocumented Irish people living here in America, but newspapers varied on how they reported the event. The New York Times says the Irish Prime Minister lectured Trump about immigration, while the Irish Independent said the Prime Minister landed just a few gentle digs on Trump. What's your take on this meeting?
Yeah, I think we're all hoping for a kind of a, I don't know if you're familiar with the film Love Actually, when there's this moment where Hugh Grant is the British Prime Minister and he makes the American president feel very uncomfortable at a press conference because of the value system that Britain has as opposed to this fictional character. Like, we would have liked for the Taoiseach, our Prime Minister, to stand and say, look, these are our values, we're an immigrant people. He did say that St. Patrick was an immigrant, which is true. But I would have wanted them to be an awful lot stronger than that, because this is a moment in our history. This is the first St. Patrick's Day since Trump's election. There's a huge amount of anti-immigrant rhetoric going on from your president. The fact that he spoke at the joint sessions and spoke about a new crime agency specifically directed at illegal or undocumented migrants is more than unfortunate. To my mind, it's xenophobic. And, you know, I think it's hypocritical of us as Irish people to come over here and talk about the 50,000 undocumented and not to talk about anybody else.
What's your take on that?
Well, I think
would you lobby for them to get a special treatment?
I wouldn't. I mean, I obviously, look, the Irish people are dear to my own heart. They're my own, countrymen and women. But I mean, can you at this moment of great fear and uncertainty, when so many people in this country are fearful of this regime, just say we're only going to speak for ourselves? Boston Mayor Marty Walsh said, don't expect me to back a deal that only deals with the Irish. And by the way, just so your listeners know, we have 26,000 undocumented workers in Ireland. So it's also important that the Irish government, of which I was a member until last year, and a minister, as you said already, have to deal with that situation. So it's not good enough for us to come over here and talk about the undocumented here. We're not willing to do it abroad. So tonight in the Riverside Church at 7:30, the Irish Stand event will take place. It's $15, tickets online, irishstand.org. And there'll be a huge number of speakers and artists and musicians and poets from various different backgrounds who'll be speaking about the common immigrant experience, because we're all immigrants in this land, really, unless you're a Native American, in fairness, if you go back in history. And the Irish have to find common cause with every other community and not try and stand apart.
Let's take some calls. We have Mary in Astoria. Mary, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi, how are you today? I just wanted to say how excited I am to hear your speaker on today. I've been noticing, I grew up in Chicago in an Irish Catholic family, and I grew up loving that legacy of JFK and that, you know, and now to see all of these Irish Catholics in the White House who are promoting all these bigoted policies, it's so depressing to me, and it makes me ashamed of my background. And a little bit further about me is my husband and my children are Muslim. So this policy, which, you know, they've clearly forgotten their history. I mean, it's just now that history, which is they've forgotten, is affecting my family today, and I have this sort of dual identity going on, and I couldn't agree with your guest more. It's just it's so mm-hmm. sad to see these guys in the White House promoting all this ugliness towards people that they should be relating to, not promoting, you know, hatreds towards.
Can I talk to Mary?
Of course. Yeah. Go ahead.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice, and thanks for your sentiments. Just to say that one of the Kennedy family, Max Kennedy, who's the son of Robert Kennedy, will be speaking tonight at our event, and I very much appreciate what you're saying. I mean, for me, it's galling to hear Mike Pence the other day speak in glowing terms about his own grandfather who came to America in the 1920s, and not to in any way comprehend that the very same fear and discrimination is happening to others today. I mean, I've got family who came to America in the 20s after the Civil War. My grandfather, his brother came to Philadelphia. They had a lot of struggles. They made their way. But to try and suck yourself into this divisiveness and then to parade around with a shamrock on your chest at the same time to promote divisive and xenophobic and anti-Muslim and anti-immigrant policies, I think is hypocritical. And I'm glad you agree with me, Mary.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, they're obviously not listening to the Pope either, and they claim to be such religious guys, you know. I mean, clearly the Pope is not aligned with what's going on in the White House, and still, they continue right along. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary. And let's hear from Brian. He's in the Bronx. Brian, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi, and thank you very much for your Irish guest. I'm an Irish American physician. I've been practicing in the Bronx for about 32 years. I am beside myself with distress and rage at what these Republicans and this president is trying to do to our healthcare system, to give tax breaks again to the wealthy, to cut Medicaid, to put at risk more vulnerable populations. It's hard for me to even watch TV anymore to watch this man. And yes, I look at Kellyanne Conway and Sean Hannity, and I find it absolutely unbelievable what they're trying to do here.
Thank you so much, Brian. Let's hear from John in Manhattan. John, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Good morning, Senator. How are you today?
Hi.
Go ahead, John.
I think that your numbers are off, though. You know, I mean, I'm an Irishman. I'm actually an Irish citizen. I was born here in the United States. My parents are from Ireland. They immigrated here in the 1960s. I think it's all in your point of view. I support the president's imperfect policies for immigration. I mean, if you look at it, he said he wants a hold for a couple of months to try and figure out who they are. The vetting system, I don't believe in it. I spent a year in Iraq in combat. I was there for the elections. There's no political infrastructure over there. You have to dye people's fingers so you know who voted and who didn't. How can you trust any records? You don't know who any of these people are. I am all for finding out who they are before they come here.
Mm-hmm. So, John, what's your
five Americans? I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, John. So, beyond the executive order on immigration, what do you think about the way the Trump administration talks about immigrants, undocumented immigrants living in this country, and how for so long there were efforts in Washington, D.C. to give them some sort of comprehensive immigration reform, but that's sort of like out of the conversation right now at this point?
I'm not sure I understand exactly what you're asking. I mean, as far as the president's I don't agree 100% with everything that he's been saying about immigration and mm-hmm. undocumented aliens and stuff like that. I don't believe that local law enforcement should be acting as immigration police. I don't think that local law enforcement should be asking people for their papers because, you know, God forbid a child gets murdered or a police officer gets murdered. And what if your only witness is an undocumented alien who's afraid to come forward? I don't think that it's wise. You know, they mm-hmm. should let ICE do ICE's job and let the local police do the local police job. But far as, you know, I mean, my parents they immigrated here legally from Ireland, and they are the biggest critics of any of my other relatives who have come over illegally. You know, mm-hmm. They said, hey, I did it right. Why didn't you do it right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, sir.
It does. Thank you so much, John. And Senator, do you think, because we know that Irish Americans, well, like in the 60s, were big fans of JFK.
Yeah.
They were voting Democratic for many years. But now it seems obvious there's a shift to the Republican Party from Irish Americans. Do you think it's all about the abortion issue?
I don't know. I can't speak to that. I mean, I'm a keen observer of politics here. I know what happened in Britain is that right beside us is that a lot of Irish people would have been drawn into the Labour Party, but now more recently they seem, because maybe more affluent because of generational change, now they will be more aligned to the Conservative Party in certain respects. Maybe that's what happens with social
mobility. Let me rephrase the question. Do you think the abortion issue is as important as ever, not only for Irish Americans here in the U.S., but also for Irish people in Ireland?
Oh, the abortion issue is a huge issue in Ireland, and it's one of the biggest political hot potatoes. It's one of the issues that most politicians will climb under the desk rather than talk about. We have a written constitution that can only be changed by the people. We have a very restrictive abortion regime. It can't be changed by legislation. It can only be changed by a referendum. And actually, many of the people coming tonight will be advocates for a referendum to repeal what we call the Eighth Amendment, which is a complete and total ban on abortion. We had to tinker with that a little bit when we were in government in order to ensure that women who were at risk of dying from their pregnancies will be allowed a termination. But in terms of Irish Americans here and the influence, perhaps the question is about the influence of the Catholic Church on their moral thinking. That's the question for the Democratic Party here, really. I think really if the only thing that you can, if that's the number one thing on your mindset when you're voting, but you'll still vote for somebody who is breaking up families. I mean, the fact that somebody with a name like Kelly is on the television saying he wants to break up families at the Mexican border, that to me is insults me as an Irish person.
But it's also, we know, we've been reported on it for a long time, and the Obama administration also separated families, deported the millions of people during his 8 years in the White House. So it's a little bit maybe...
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not here to say that... What really hurts me is the idea of...
Right, but is it all the blame? All the blame should go to the Republicans or to the Trump White House?
I was looking at the joint session speech and I heard about this new agency called Voice. Now, if you're an undocumented immigrant, just as your last caller who said it was a Trump supporter, you're less likely to want to go anywhere near the law enforcement agencies because you live in the shadow of the state. So the idea that the crime rates are higher amongst immigrants or amongst undocumented immigrants is patently untrue. There's no evidence for it at all, but it's convenient for somebody like Trump and his administration to say, do you know something, you're annoyed, you're upset, you're disillusioned, you're economically in a difficult place, let's talk about immigration and the crime rates there. And it has no basis in fact, but it gets people, it plays in their emotions and sometimes the xenophobic tendencies that can be in people's heads. And that's what's so dangerous about what he's doing, because it's not based in evidence. Now, your system here in terms of regularising people, of course you want to bring people out of the shadows and give them a chance. But I mean, America, for us in Ireland, like, we believe in this country. The potential for this country for good is huge. Mm-hmm. So many Irish families who have come here and done so well, just as your callers have. And that's why it's so upsetting to see the reputation of your country tarnished to such a degree that there was a huge number of people in Ireland who didn't want our Prime Minister to go to the White House on St. Patrick's Day. And for that to happen, it means that something is wrong. And tonight, in the Riverside Church at 7:30, we'd love to see you there. There'll be a huge number of speakers and artists and musicians to celebrate what it means to be Irish, what it means to be an immigrant, and what it means to stand together and solidarity.
Let's hear from Lionel. Lionel is in Brooklyn. Lionel, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Good morning. for many years, I've been trying to get on to the show, and I'm so glad.
Congratulations.
At this very moment when I can talk with a courageous gentleman from Ireland. Now, I was born in the Caribbean, and I think listening to the accent down there, that there's somewhere else along the way, Irish people have had something to do with the Caribbean culture.
We wish you had your weather. Our weather is awful in Ireland.
Well, it's wonderful there, but I am so pleased to hear someone, a senator, who is able to express the truth about this whole situation. There are many Irish people, as he's indicated, who have religious background, have a religious background. It's strong in the Irish culture. And yet, so many of the activities, actions that are taking place are so un-Christian, if they are Christians. I think Catholics.
Yeah.
Christian. And the Pope, Christ, their attitude towards the poor and those who are needy are so different from these individuals who claim to be Christian. So I'm really excited to hear someone from the Irish community who is able to stand up and really, you know, tell the country and all people of Irish extraction the true nature of what is happening right here in America.
Thank you so much, Lionel. And Senator, I'm really curious to know what's the policy right now in Ireland for Syrian refugees. Is Ireland accepting Syrian refugees now?
When I was minister, what extent? When I was minister, the original program was for 1,100 program refugees. I actually had a role in increasing that to 4,000. So we're a country of about 4.5 million, and we're taking in 4,000. You can do the maths as to what, or math as you call it here, as to what the proportion would be if you were to take in the same proportion here in America. And there was a wonderful moment actually when 80 Syrian refugees moved to a place called Ballyhadreen, which is a small town in County Roscommon on the west coast of Ireland. And some of the local politicians were a little bit unsure, and some of their statements were a little bit unfortunate. They didn't come out against it, but they were talking about further communication and consultation. Their national broadcaster television station went down to interview local people, and they went into a little corner shop of a little old lady who said behind the counter, "When you see children being picked out of clay, how could you say no?" And this is a little old lady living in a town in Ballyhadreen, which has suffered terribly under the economic recession we've had. People are emigrating from that town. They have a football team. They can't even field the 15 players they need for the Gaelic football team. And she is happy to take in Syrian families and 80 Syrian refugees into her heart and into her community. Now, I just don't understand how an Irish-American in this administration could look at a child being picked out of clay in Syria and say no.
Back in the day here in this country, Irish Americans or Irish people were seen with suspicion because of their religion, because they were Catholic. Do you think right now we are having the same issue? It's all about religion when it comes to the so-called Muslim ban, or is it about race also when it comes to immigrants coming from other countries that are not Europe?
I think the Irish have an advantage in that they're white and they're Christian and they're European and they're English speaking. And so they kind of, apart from the majority Catholic thing, obviously not everybody from Ireland is a Catholic, but the majority Catholic thing is probably the only thing that in the past has held them back. But we did have, as you know, no dogs, no blacks, no Irish. We did have, you know, jobs available, no Irish need apply signs. Maybe in certain parts of America, the Irish managed to make the jump up to the middle class or whatever easier because they were English speaking and white and European and Christian. So at this moment in time, I mean, look, one of your earlier speakers talked about the travel ban and not letting people in because of, like, if a British politician had said in the 1970s or 80s, when Irish people were planting bombs in pubs and in shopping centres, killing children, killing women, killing civilians, right? And this happens, just in case, you know, it happened in my lifetime. If any British politician had said, we're going to stop travel from Ireland into Britain for 120 days, there would have been outrage in Ireland. And you know what? We would have lost our sense of sympathy with the British people for the bombs that had gone off. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds like a crazy thing to say, but the solidarity you have with people who have lost life sometimes is diminished when you are accused of being in some way complicit. And you'd be amazed as to how young people can be radicalised. We had a situation in Derry in 1972 where we had a peaceful march for civil rights, just like you had here in Martin Luther King, inspired by the great civil rights movement in the States. 1968, 1972, peaceful marches in Derry. The British Army went in and shot dead 13 unarmed civilian protesters. Guess what happened? You couldn't, the IRA had lines of people wanting to join up, take up arms against Britain. If you do not talk and have conciliatory measures and talk respectfully about a community, they turn against you. And I'm talking to an imam there last week who's speaking tonight, who said his seven-year-old wants to move to Canada. This stuff sucks itself into the bones of children. They know when they're not wanted. They know when they feel lesser. I used to be a teacher in an inner-city school. I know all about it. And so if you're a Mexican kid, or you're a Muslim kid, you're an African-American kid, and you're listening to this stuff, not just on the street, but from the White House, it's going to last for life if you're not careful. And what they need is to know that other communities who maybe have an advantage because they're white, like the Irish, are going to stand right beside them. And I want Irish people to know, Irish American people, that in terms of what we're doing here tonight in the Riverside Church, there is absolutely no difference for being an Irish immigrant and being a Mexican immigrant or being from a Muslim majority country. We're all in this together. And anybody with an Irish surname who tries to put divisions between us has forgotten his or her own Irish heart. And we're going to make that point very clearly tonight.
Let's hear from Bernadette. She is in Peekskill in New York. Bernadette, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. And a good segue to your point, Senator, was a group of Irish musicians and Irish-American musicians here in the States got together. Noel Scott started it in Boston four weeks ago.
Oh, the Sanctuary Sessions.
Put together a concert called Sanctuary Sessions.
Yes, yes,
and
it's fantastic.
And they raised $38,000 for the ACLU. And yeah, it was awesome because it was from Seattle to Austin, Texas, and in Dublin. So I think the musicians are definitely in solidarity with all of the refugee populations and totally trying to do something to really advocate. Yeah.
That was brilliant, actually, because
I
went to the one in Dublin. I spoke at it, and Mick Maloney, who was involved in those sessions as well, is coming tonight. So, yeah, it was actually wonderful. And just as the Sanctuary Sessions right across the United States was to raise money for the ACLU, tonight's event is also in aid of the ACLU.
Great. So hopefully I can get there.
Great. Brilliant. Well, come up to me afterwards. I'll give you an Irish hug.
Thank you so much, Bernadette. Thank you. And tell us, just before you leave, a little bit about Brexit. President Trump is a supporter of Brexit, that it's really worrisome for many in Ireland right now, also because of the border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. Where is the matter right now? Well, what's the Irish government doing right now? Are they trying to lobby the British government not to go through with
done.
Brexit?
Well, it's mind-numbingly... you just want to smash your head off a wall. We're watching the debates in Britain as to what's going on. A huge amount of it was about immigration. To be honest, a lot of mirrors about happened here, but a lot of people were voting against their own instincts. They were convinced by a small clique of basically xenophobic and racist businessmen that this was the way to go. A referendum was promised by the Conservative Party in order to get back into power. They had the referendum. It looked like, just like Hillary Clinton looked like she's going to win here, it looked like it was going nowhere. It looked like they were going to stay in the European Union. The Brits have walked away from their historic responsibilities to Europe and their historic responsibilities to Ireland. To be honest, if the worst comes to the worst, we could lose 400,000 jobs. In a country of 4.5 million, that's a lot of jobs, because the agri-food sector is very important to Ireland. About 20% of the jobs in places like Cavan and Monaghan and Wexford and Waterford would be based on the agri-food sector. We had a violent conflict in Northern Ireland that cost 3,000 lives. And the Irish dimension to the British discussion just didn't come up. And to be honest, I am pretty outraged by the British attitude to this whole debate, because we went through so much and we suffered so much, and there was so much blood. And to be honest, the American administrations here were hugely helpful, and Irish-American politicians here were hugely helpful in dragging us out of that pit of despair to a place where there actually can be peace and power sharing. And now the Brits have walked off the stage, and we're going to have it'd be very unlikely to have anything but a hard border between the Republic and Northern Ireland. And that's devastating, because the European Union, for all its faults, and it's gone through a difficult time because of the economic collapse in Greece and ourselves and Portugal and Spain and the euro being under just great pressure. But at the end of the day, it was born out of the ashes of the Second World War. It's been the most successful human rights-based, civil rights-based, free trade and free movement of people movement in the last 100 years. And for that to begin to break up because Britain has left is very, very troubling. Now, we've had a good week because the far-right party in Holland didn't make the advances that was expected. Your travel ban got overturned. That's number two. So number three, which is the hat trick, is going to be tonight when we have a great event in the Riverside Church.
Thank you so much. We'll have to leave it there for today. On this St. Patrick's Day, my guest has been Éan O'Riordan, a senator with the Labour Party in Ireland and a former Minister of State for Communities, Culture and Equality. Senator, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And coming up, we'll talk about child welfare and how to create better systems to protect the most vulnerable. This is The Brian Lehrer Show. Stay with us.
Million doves, 7 million barrels of porter. We had 8 million piles of old nanny goss tails, and all of the Irish rolls.